Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ. And on today's episode, for a change of pace, we're going to take a look at a band called the Bee Gees. And unfortunately, it appears as if the Bee Gees' place in history has been cemented as a disco band. They're primarily known and will primarily go down in history for the disco period, which is unfortunate. Personally, I'm not really a fan of anything the band did in the disco era, except for the song we're listening to right now, which I think is a brilliant piece of songwriting. Why am I going to devote an episode of the podcast to the Bee Gees? Well, because before they went disco, I think the Bee Gees produced some of the most brilliant pop songwriting ever in history. And I think it's really unfair that the Bee Gees, in most people's minds, are just considered a disco band. I mean, it's insane, really. If you take a look at the catalog, the material they produced before the disco era, so many great songs, and we're going to take a listen to some of those today.
But you, the three of you wrote all those hits, and yet it's hard to believe, if it's true, that none of you writes a note of music.
That's right, no. Yeah, we don't write music.
We can't read or actually write music.
Can't write a single crotch.
Crotch.
Well, music was certainly in the air when your dance band leader father married your mother in 1944.
Good
the band formed an arch of musical instruments.
Yeah.
Now, Barry, you were born in 1946, the twins 3 years later, and you were still in infant school when you started singing in harmony.
So the brothers' father, Hugh Gibb, was a professional musician. He was a drummer, and their mother was also a singer. And the brothers were born on the Isle of Man, which is a small island on the Irish Sea between Britain and Ireland. Barry was born in 1946, and the twins, Robin and Morris, in 1949. They were fraternal twins, not identical. Barry got a guitar for his 9th birthday, and by the time he was 10, and the twins were 7, they were already writing songs and began performing publicly together the next year in 1958 when Barry was 11 and the twins were 8. And that same year, the family moved to Australia to start a new life. And in late 1958, the three brothers started performing for tips at the Brisbane Speedway, and they caught the attention of two men, Bill Good, who was a race car driver, and Bill Gates, who was a radio DJ. And those two men were inspired by each other's initials to give the boys the name the Bee Gees. It did not come from the Brothers Gibb moniker, like so many people think. Bill Gates put them on the radio, which eventually led to TV.
Here are some of the boys I'm looking for. Lee Henderson told me earlier they were down here in the audience. The Bee Gees. Barry, the leader of the group, come here. Barry Gibb and your young brothers. Now, come on, who are you? Which is which? Your twins, eh?
I'm Mother.
Robin?
Morris.
And Morris. Now, you all sing together, eh?
That's right.
And your brother Barry plays. Now, come on up. Come on up here. That's right. Come on up through there. Put you right in the picture. Put you right in the room. You're going to stand up on the high level? That's the thing. Now, is it true that you write your own pieces, Barry?
It's true, isn't it?
And what are you going to play for us now you've come down from Brisbane?
Time is passing by.
All right, then, we'll hear you all together.
Eventually, Bill Gates opted out of managing the band, and their father, Hugh, took over. The boys dropped out of school as early as they could, 13, 14, and they had a couple of local hits in Australia, and finally, in 1966, they had a big hit called Spicks and Specks.
Where is the sun that shone on my head? The sun in my life, it is dead, it is dead. Where is the light that would play in my streets? And where are the friends I could meet, I could meet? Where are the girls I left far behind? The spicks and the specks of the girls on my mind.
In January of 1967, the Gibb family moved back to England, and the boys eventually caught the attention of aspiring music mogul Robert Stigwood, actually via Brian Epstein, the Beatles manager, who passed along the boys' tape to Stigwood. Stigwood had worked with The Who and Cream, and had even wormed his way into the Beatles' inner circle. And when Stigwood signed the Bee Gees, he bought 51% of their publishing for £1,000. So basically, Stigwood was a typically nefarious music manager, really, in my opinion. Just another outright criminal, like most of them. So by March of 1967, the Bee Gees had entered Polydor Studios to record what would become their first international single, a song called New York Mining Disaster 1941. And here is Barry Gibb performing the song live earlier this year.
The event of something happening to me. There is something I would like you all to see. It's just a photograph of someone that I knew. Have you seen my wife, Mr. Joe? Do you know what it's like on the outside? Don't go talking too loud, you cause a landslide. Mr. Jones, I keep straining my ears to hear a sound. Maybe someone is digging underground. I have been given up and all gone home to bed, thinking those who once existed must be dead. Talking
Bee Gees' first international album, Bee Gees First, came out in July of 1967 and included a single called To Love Somebody, which Barry Gibb originally wrote with Otis Redding in mind. Barry was still 20 years old when he wrote this song.
Kind of light that never shone on me. I want my life to be live with you, live with you. There's a way, everybody says, to do each and every little thing. I ain't got you, ain't got. Hey, baby, you don't know what it's like. Baby, you don't know what it's like to love somebody, to love somebody.
Bee Gees First was a top 10 hit in both the US and the UK. The boys went right back into the studio to record their next album, Horizontal, and in August of 1967, they released a single called Massachusetts, which came out the next month, September of 67, and went to number one in the UK.
The Bee Gees!
Feel I'm going back to Massachusetts. Something's telling me I must go home. And the lights all went down in Massachusetts. To San Francisco, gotta do the things I wanna do. And the lights all went down in Massachusetts. They brought me back to see.
In November of 67, the brothers' next single, World, was also a top 10 hit.
Now I found that the world is around and the cause it rains.
Horizontal came out in January of 1968 and was a top 20 hit in both the US and the UK. And then on January 26th of 1968, the brothers' next single, Words, was released. And it was a top 10 hit in the UK and went to number 15 in the US. And soon after, the brothers appeared on The Ed Sullivan Show and the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour.
Smile can bring you near to me. ever let me find you gone, 'cause that would bring a tear to me. This world has lost its glory, let's start a brand new story now, my love. Right now, there'll be no other time, and I can show you how I love. Talk in everlasting words and dedicate them all to me. And I will give you all my life, I'm here if you should call to me.
In September of 1968, the brothers' third international album, Idea, was released and featured another top 10 hit and one of my personal favorite Bee Gees songs, a song called I Gotta Get a Message to You.
Preacher talked with me and he smiled, said, come and walk with me, come and walk one more mile. Now for once in your life you're alone, but you ain't got a dime, there's no time for the phone. I just gotta get a message to you.
During this same time period, work had begun on the brothers' ambitious fourth album, Odessa, which Barry called a rock opera at the time, and interestingly, The Who's Tommy was also in the works during this same period. Odessa also turned into a double album, and it was completed by December of 68, but by the end of the process, the brothers were no longer on speaking terms, and they had been going into the studio individually, one at a time, to finish the record. And also, before Odessa was released, Robin Gibbs' song I Started a Joke came out as a single in late December of 68 and went to the top 10 in the U.S.
I started a joke, which got in the whole world crying. But I didn't see that the joke was on me. Oh no, I started to cry, which started the whole world laughing. Oh, if I'd only seen that the joke was on me.
So at this point, Robin had his own hit with his own song, and he became upset that his song from Odessa, Lamplight, would not be the A-side of the first single, but instead Barry's song, First of May, would be the A-side of the first single released from Odessa, and in my opinion, Robin was right. Lamplight is a far superior song.
Thank you.
So the single First of May makes it into the top 10 in the UK, but barely even makes the top 50 in the US. March of 1969, the ambitious double album Odessa is released, makes it to number 10 on the UK album charts, only number 20 in the US. It's a really, really good album. Really cool. Right now you're going to hear two of my favorites from the record, Black Diamond and Never Say Never Again.
Of a place far away, I followed a river where the dead man would play.
The same month that Odessa was released, March of 1969, Robin Gibb left the band. At this point, they'd made four albums in just 2 years, one of them a double album, and Barry is 22 and the twins are just 19. And supposedly Barry learned that Robin Gibb had left the Bee Gees by reading it in the newspaper. Soon after, Robert Stigwood sues Robin for breach of contract, but that doesn't stop him from releasing his first solo single in July of 69, Saved by the Bell, and it makes it to number 2 on the UK charts. Robin's first solo album, Robin's Reign, came out in early 1970, and it was not a hit.
Hello, I'm down. Take me for this weekend. I'm yours to borrow tomorrow, good friend. And while I'm away, all my love I'll send and thank you every Thursday for this weekend.
Meanwhile, Barry and Morris are carrying on as the Bee Gees. They're working on what would become a disastrous TV movie called Cucumber Castle, and an accompanying album also called Cucumber Castle, which would tank. So, in August of 1970, the brothers reunite, and their reunion album comes out in late 1970 called 2 Years On. Single from the album, Lonely Days, is a hit around the world, the album itself not a huge success.
Find skin of the crowd.
The brothers' next album, Trafalgar, was a moderate hit, but the single from that record, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, was their first number one single in the United States.
I can think of younger days when living for my life was everything a man could want to do. I could never see tomorrow, but I was never told about the sorrow. How can you stop the rain from falling down?
How can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world go round?
And how can you mend this broken man? How can a loser ever win?
Pantheon Podcast listeners, Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once, new quick charge function, three customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
The brothers' next album, To Whom It May Concern, came out in October of 1972, and song for song, it might be my favorite Bee Gees album, but it was not a hit. The single Run To Me was a top 10 hit in the UK, but the album itself, one of the brothers' least successful records, maybe their least successful, I'm not sure. But like I said, it might be my favorite Bee Gees album, and right now you're going to hear three examples why. Songs called We Lost the Road, Never Been Alone, and Sea of Smiling Faces from the 1972 Bee Gees album To Whom It May Concern.
We lost, have lost the road. Don't you think it's getting late? Maybe if it's colder, we can stop the rain. We must have lost the words. Oh.
only you in my head. Been thinking it over. I've never climbed a tree, but that's natural for me. And you don't know my name, so I'm thinking it over. Every day I'm learning the things that are concerning you and I. And if you were beside me, you'd know what's inside me. So tell me why. Give me inspiration to clear the situation we've known too long. And if we end up crying, then one of us is lying. So tell me. Never rode a plane, and I never will again.
Yesterday was history, who knows what there is gonna be when we meet again. Will you smile and tell the world about me? Can there be no doubt about me? I was your friend. As I gaze upon a sea of smiling faces, walk amongst the glow.
We planned the world would never understand, but we found a way. And the world of love you gave to me, each moment is a memory, whatever they say.
As I gaze upon a sea of smiling faces, walk amongst the glow.
The Bee Gees' next album, Life in a Tin Can, came out in January of 1973. The album did not even chart in the UK and only made it to number 69 on the US album charts. So at this point, their career is in a steep decline. Their career is in serious trouble. But Life in a Tin Can has some great songs on it, including what is probably my personal favorite song by the Bee Gees, a song called While I Play.
I'll cry a tear of emotion to spread across the USA. Ain't no sunshine cowboy in your pockets. I'll make my own way.
So between 1967 and 1972, the Bee Gees sold 25 million albums in 5 years, but that did not prevent their next record, which was to be called A Kick in the Head is Worth Eight in the Pants, from being rejected by the record label and put on the shelf. The band did return in June of 1974 with an album called Mr. Natural. And this is the transition album where you can really hear the brothers trying to find a new sound. They know they have to do something different, that they have to revitalize themselves somehow. But the record was a complete flop chart-wise. It only made it to number 178 in the United States.
I was hungry and I was cold. Had a father far too old. Couldn't make it to the place you'd like to be. In a tree trunk in the park, he was living in the dark, keeping other dogs like him for company. And in the evening I'd go down to a nightclub in the town, try to get some bread to make another whip. And back to the park I'd go, dig him out of the snow. You know he's lived a thousand years from day to day.
When the days get shorter and the nights get longer, and you never learn to love, if you love one another, could you look at each other?
So at this point, the Bee Gees' career is basically in the toilet, and they're still writing some great songs, but nobody's paying attention, and they realize they need to figure something out.
Well, John Tolkien.
Just your job talking.
shorts.
So the Bee Gees' next album, Main Chorus, comes out in the summer of 1975, and this is the beginning of the disco period for the band. Jive Talkin' is a number one hit in the US, top five in the UK, and Nights on Broadway is a top 10 hit as well. Children of the World, the next album, comes out in September of 1976. That's a top 10 album, and You Should Be Dancin' is a number one hit in the United States. And then...
Staying Alive!
Between 1977 and 1980, the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack would sell 25 million copies in 3 years. How Deep Is Your Love? Top 10 for 17 weeks. The Bee Gees were just shattering records at this point. Night Fever was a number one single for 8 weeks. Stayin' Alive was a number one single for 4 weeks. Love Is Thicker Than Water, which Barry wrote for his youngest brother Andy, would replace Stayin' Alive at number one. Then, Stayin' Alive would be replaced by Night Fever at number one, which would then be replaced at number one by Andy Gibb's song Shadow Dancing, which Barry co-wrote. In other words, the Gibb brothers basically played a part in 4 straight number one singles in the United States, one after another. At the same time that they're having this monumental, unimaginable success, the Bee Gees are making a movie called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And what's really interesting is that film went into production before Saturday Night Fever became a huge hit. They began filming the movie in October of 1977, and the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack was not released until December of 1977. So if the film had been any good at all, it couldn't have had more of a leg up. It couldn't have been better timing if the film had been good. But when the film premiered in July of 1978, the reviews were just scathing. When the soundtrack came out before the film premiered, Saturday Night Fever was still in the top 10 and selling millions, and sales of the soundtrack started really strong, but then the movie tanked and sales dropped quickly.
About a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car. He hadn't noticed that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was from the House of Lords. I saw a film today, oh boy. The English army had just won the war. A crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look. Having read
But the brothers came back in November of 1978 with another number one hit called Too Much Heaven.
Okay. This is the one we wrote in.
Yeah, see if you remember this. Because I don't.
Nobody gets too much heaven no more. It's much harder to come back than waiting in line. much love anymore. It's as high as a mountain and harder to climb. Oh, you and me, girl, got a lot of love in store. And it flows through you and it flows through me. And I love you so much more than my life. I can see me on forever. Everything we are will never die. Love is such a beautiful thing. Oh, you make my world a summer day. Are you just a dream to fade away? Nobody gets too much heaven no more. It's much harder to come by. I'm waiting in line. Nobody gets too much love anymore. It's as high as a mountain and harder to climb.
That record, Spirits Having Flown, came out in February of 1979. It was a number one album by March. The Bee Gees' output in the 80s, to me, is not as interesting as the side projects that they were working on. Barry began writing songs for other artists like Barbra Streisand, Dionne Warwick, Diana Ross, and he wrote an entire record in 1983 for Kenny Rogers called Eyes in the Dark, including a number one hit single called Islands in the Stream. Robin Gibb had three solo albums in the 80s, How Old Are You, Secret Agent, and Walls Have Eyes, and the first two, in my opinion, are a lot better than anything the Bee Gees put out in the 80s.
We'll be right back.
Morris Gibb did the soundtrack for a 1984 film called A Breed Apart.
You got to walk a little slower when you're with her. Take the time to be tender. That's the plan. You've got to stand a little taller while her world falls to pieces. Only then can you hold her in your hand.
Morris Gibb died on January 12th of 2003. At the age of 53, and his twin brother, Robin Gibb, died May 20th, 2012, at the age of 62. The last surviving Bee Gee, older brother Barry Gibb, in 2013 launched his Mythology Tour to celebrate all of the great music that he made with his brothers. The Bee Gees were not just a disco band. They were amazing artists, and they wrote many incredible songs.
Woo! Well, Barry Gibb is one of the most prolific singer-songwriter producers in music history, along with his brothers, Morris and Robin. The Bee Gees represents one of the most successful vocal groups in rock and roll history, having sold more than, listen to this, 200 million albums wow. worldwide. Please welcome the one and only Barry Gibb.
Thank you for being here. How are you doing? Great to see you. Thank you. Welcome to our show.
This is your first time on our show in all these years.
But it's been more than 50 years since the Bee Gees, you know, burst into the charts. Doesn't it seem like it's been 50 years for you? Or did it just go like that?
It feels like 50 years. It's so funny.
But we've seen an awful lot of things. So, you know, the memories are fantastic. And we were signed to the Beatles Company, which was fantastic.
Oh, wow.
We met them very early on. And Paul McCartney came to our first show, and it was a terrible show. But he was there.
He was there, and that's all that mattered.
He said, keep going.
And yeah. Do you have a favorite Bee Gees song?
I have a bunch of favorites, but the one that immediately would come to mind would be, you want me to shoot at it?
Yes, yeah,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pick up, Mike.
Okay.
You can sing it if you want it. There's a lot, certain kind of lot, never shone on me. I want my life to be live with you, live with you. There's a way everybody seems to do each and every little thing. But what good does it bring if I ain't got you? Ain't I? And baby, you don't know what it's like. Baby, you don't know what it's like to love somebody the way I love you.
Okay, It should end for me right now, because between Barry and Michael both serenading me, that's it.
Well, Barry said sing along. I got caught up.
I know, it's so nice.
But you've been married to your wife, Linda, for 43 years, so.
That's
you
such
know,
an accomplishment. Which,
46 years.
46 years?
Because we were together for 3 years before we got married.
Yeah, so, well, that wow. counts.
Yeah,
that
practice.
Certainly counts. Practice. Yes, it does. Now, was she, is she a muse for a lot of your songs? Did you write with her in mind?
Well, yeah, I think. The one song that I'd sort of written anyway, but over the years has come to mean my love for her, and that's this one.
Smile, an everlasting smile, a smile can bring you near to me. That would bring a tear to me. You think that I don't even mean a single word I say. It's only words, and words are all I have to take your heart away.
And we all know Saturday Night Fever, that was a huge film in 1977.
Mm.
And you guys had a big hit, 7 songs in that film. But how deep is your love? That was your biggest hit.
That'd be my favorite, too. I'm usually singing in the shower at this point, you realize.
I know your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, wanna feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, and you softly leave. And it's me you need to show, how deep is your love.
And now to play us out.
What does that mean? To play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with another song from the Bee Gees' almost completely ignored 1973 album called Life in a Tin Can. Earlier on the episode, I played you what I said is probably my own personal favorite song by the Bee Gees, and it comes from that same album. It's a song called While I Play. This is another song from that record, Life in a Tin Can. This is a song called Saw a New Morning. Until next time.
All of a sudden I saw a new morning. I'm locked up, I wanna be free. Out and over the wall, and my friends are waiting for me.
16 people are waiting to get me, hoping to take me outside. I hear the sound of a snowball behind me. I went along for the bones, they are aching. My soul must weather the storm. I must run till my back, it is breaking. Desperately I must keep on. 16 people are waiting to get me, hoping to take me outside. I hear the sound of a snub note behind me. Went along for the ride.
be back.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.